Thanks so much for coming in to talk with us about buds, blossoms, branches, boughs for the queen at Duke Energy Convention Center. Brenda, tell us about this artworks project. Is it the largest single work you've done?
It is. And without artworks, I probably wouldn't have spread my wings this far. I was given an opportunity to stretch, and that's been wonderful.
And Susan, as an artworks apprentice, you've helped to make all this happen. What exactly did you do on the project?
Well, going into the project, I knew nothing about what we were going to do. Brenda taught me all about ceramics.
Uh-huh.
So she first had to instruct me, and then I got to help paint. I did form. I helped envision and sketch, roll out so much clay. It was great. It was a learning experience for sure.
Why don't you describe the piece?
It consists of steel branches that support white tree flowers. And the three white tree flowers we chose are magnolia, serviceberry, and dogwood. I chose those three particular tree flowers to represent kind of how our cultural history and our natural history intersect, to give a sense of place to visitors to the convention center. I was thinking about how people that have migrated to Cincinnati from the Deep South may have memories of home when they smell the scent of magnolia in the springtime. Serviceberry is a native species that is really prevalent in the Appalachian Mountains, and it's called serviceberry because it is, I think, one of the earliest blooming trees. And when it was blooming was when things were thawing out enough to have services for people who had passed away over the winter. So if you lived up a hollow and you wanted to have a gathering to memorialize someone, you had to wait till things thawed out. And that was what was blooming. And so it became dubbed serviceberry. Parts of eastern Kentucky and West Virginia, they say sarviceberry, which connects back to the old Elizabethan English that was spoken there. And in some parts, it's called Juneberry. And last night, I feasted on Juneberries at the Friendship Park down on the river. They are ripe and edible and lovely. So it's also the earliest fruit-bearing tree in general in this region. And then the dogwood, because it also is a native species. And there's a lot of, I can remember as a child being told what the marks on the, what look like petals, they're actually bracts, the white flower part, signify with a religious connotation due to crucifixion and just different things. But also for me, memories of the, just where I feel the most connected is in nature and the woods. So that's what I wanted to celebrate, this place, in terms of its natural history. So.
Were you working with new materials here? I know you as a potter, and the metal I don't associate with you.
Yes, and so I've been dancing around the use of metal to support ceramic forms, and my son had done a few small supports for some pod pieces, and so this was an opportunity to take that further, and also, I think, to consider a way to make ceramic forms in a space so large that we could spread them across the surface. You know, I wanted it to be three-dimensional because I'm interested in form and not mosaic or whatever. So that's what we did. We made three-dimensional flowers and buds.
And this is mounted on a wall.
It is. It's 58 feet long and 11 feet high. And it's about 10 feet above the level of the hallway. So when you go up the escalator to the second floor on the 5th Street, first floor walkway. When you're on the escalator, you're at eye level with it, which is kind of cool. And if you're on the second floor, you can stand at the railing and look down on it. So you can see it from beneath, eye level, and above.
Well, I only know this work through photographs, but there's a real sense of delicacy to it. And it's so large. Was it hard to maintain that sense of fragility in a piece that's so expansive?
That's a great question. I think that there was a lot of worry about getting it from studio and getting it installed. But the clay body that I used was more durable than the smaller pieces that I do in porcelain are more sheer, but I wanted to give the appearance of how a petal is very sheer by making the edges tapered. And my wonderful apprentices tapered the edges of...
For hours, yes. I think the natural just grace of a flower transfers that elegance and fragility on its own, even without the construction process being involved. If you're true to its form, I think that comes across.
Brenda, does this work give you new ideas for future projects?
Well, I think it opens up the possibility of things supported in space, and also an aspect of it that I really enjoy and something that I have been pointing myself toward but maybe not totally realizing is the play of light on pieces and the shadows that they create. And the lighting is just from can lights that point down right now, but it casts shadows from the branches and shadows from the flower forms. And that's a really lovely aspect of it to me. I like being in the woods and seeing dappled light and that sort of thing. So that's something that I would like to continue.
Susan, I'll ask you the same thing. Did you get new ideas for future projects from working on this?
Absolutely. I think even just in the broadest spectrum, working with this new material that I'd never experienced was really inspiring and opened up all the possibilities in art and in my careers. It was incredible. It was really inspiring.
Well, I understand that there'll be an official dedication for buds, blossoms, branches, boughs for the Queen on Wednesday, July 10. Will that be open to the public?
It is. It's from 5 to 7.
Thanks so much for coming in to talk with us about it, Brenda and Susan.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We've been talking with artist Brenda Tarbell and Artworks apprentice Susan Romer about buds, blossoms, branches, boughs for the Queen, newly installed at Duke Energy Convention Center. For a link to more information, see WVXU.org. For Around Cincinnati, this is Jane Durrell.